We'll bring you the March 4th, 2011 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, this is the rain report. Available for transmission over amateur radio under a Creative Commons license. I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN. The sun is what makes the HF bands go round. One website devoted to the study of the sun and its effect on terrestrial communications is spaceweather.gov, a government-run site that draws over a million hits a day, 6 million when there's a major solar event, like the one that occurred Valentine's Week here in 2011. Rob Steenberg, KA8JBY, is a space weather forecaster with that website. His connection with NOAA started in 2007 while in Colorado serving as an Air Force liaison. In 2009, until last October, Rob worked in Houston, Texas, in NASA's Space Radiation Analysis Group. He returned to Colorado in October of 2010, where he works today for spaceweather.gov. This is part two of Hap Holly, KC9RP's conversation with Rob, in which the discussion centered on Solar Cycle 24.
Cycle 24 has been a real bust for the HF ham bands. In fact, it wasn't until the week of February 14th here in 2011 that we actually had a solar flux of 100. First time in 5 years. Where does that fall in the averages of a normal sunspot cycle?
Well, for a normal sunspot cycle, you see solar fluxes averaging well above 100. At the peak of solar max, the running averages monthly will be over 200. Daily averages can soar upwards of 300. Now, for this same time in the solar cycle, yeah, we'd be expecting to see some higher values. Actually, the prediction was for over 100. We're actually a little below where we'd expect to be at this time in the cycle.
Just a little?
Well, based on the prediction we had initially for January of 11, yeah, we were sitting in the mid-80s. Our expectation by this time was to be up over 100 at the January time frame. So here we are in March now, and it took to mid-February before we were actually up over 100.
That would indicate that as bad as the bands have been the last 5 years, that's really not a surprise.
That's true. Absolutely.
When is Solar Cycle 24 projected to peak?
Well, right now it looks like in 2013, around May, that's when we're looking for this thing to top out. And at that time, we're looking to hit about 140 for our predicted monthly average.
Not very impressive.
Not in comparison with previous cycles. Interestingly enough, this cycle that we're in now, it was the lowest smooth sunspot minimum since 1913. You have to go back to the 1800s to find two minima that were lower. They've also been keeping records of the F10 flux, which is what we're used to using as amateur radio operators. And since they've started recording it in 1947, it was the lowest smooth F10 on record since then. So yeah, it's definitely been been down there. We keep track of a few different indicators. One of the indicators is the smooth sunspot number. So these are the actual spots that you can see through a telescope and count. Those records go way back. And then, of course, we're used to looking also now at the F10.7 centimeter radial flux. And those records go back to 47. As far as the reasons why, there's apparently been a recent article published, and I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, that indicates that this prolonged minimum may be related to currents in the plasma within the sun and that have basically suppressed the development of these magnetic regions that we need to create the sunspot groups. The things that we look for as forecasters are areas of emerging magnetic flux on the solar surface, and as those magnetic flux tubes get twisted and stretched and distorted, that's when you start to see flaring and things like that. So any suppression of the magnetic field is going to put a damper on that type of activity. And apparently, some researchers have determined that there were currents that interfered with this and with the formation of sunspots, giving us this prolonged solar minimum. It's interesting because since this is not the first time we've had a minima like this, although they're rare, it's interesting to see that there might be an explanation and a mechanism for it.
Can you tell me what the record high monthly solar flux was?
this particular graph I'm looking at starts at 1950, and it looks like the highest one was a solar cycle prior to 1960. It looks like it topped out near 250 for the flux.
I remember hearing about 6 meters being worldwide.
Oh, wow.
For days in the late 50s. As we speak here on the 4th of March, we've had some excitement in the last couple of weeks. Talk about that a little.
Well, we've seen pretty much an onslaught of new sunspot groups coming around. We've had some pretty spectacular coronal mass ejections to look at. So there's been definitely enhanced activity. And this is fun as a forecaster because now we've got some more to look at. We have worked during the solar minimum as well, but this is the exciting stuff. Right now on the disk, I think we've got 5 numbered sunspot regions as of today. 2 of them are fairly large. One of the new regions over the past 24 hours tripled in size and doubled the number of sunspots it had associated with it. It's still got a fairly simple magnetic classification, though, meaning that its potential for solar flares is somewhat less. We've got another region that we've been following all week. That's 1164. That one has managed to maintain its complexity and its size. In fact, it's grown a little bit over the past few days. Those two regions are ones we're looking at now. We had, as you mentioned, back around Valentine's Day, the first X flare several years. Since then, we've had a couple of M flares, but lately we've just been looking at some C flares. Interestingly enough, the solar flux is back on the rise. You know, it kind of topped out over 100, then kind of sunk back down under 100. It's back up again. Today, the noon value came in, I think, at 127.
That's a nice increase over 100.
Oh, yeah.
And every haul, I think you had to have like a solar flux 120 or greater for 10 meters. What's your best guess what we can expect over spring and summer?
Well, if the trends continue, I would expect to see continued increase in the solar flux numbers that we're seeing now that we're up around 120. The nice thing is, too, using the stereo satellites, you know, we can see around the east limb and see new regions emerging as well as old regions returning. The activity that we see there, we see more magnetic flux regions emerging. So that tends to support a continued increase in our solar flux values. Typically, the ramp up is quicker than the decay after the peak of the solar cycle. So we should see some fairly decent development in the next 6 to 9 months. And that would put us generally remaining over 100. And that's on average. We may have days here and there where it dips below, but I think the general trends are encouraging. Now, like we mentioned last time, that it's a double-edged sword, so you're going to have an increased possibility for geomagnetic storming brought about by coronal mass ejections that happen to be Earth-directed. So we'll have some things to deal with there, as well as the fades on HF due to the flaring. So you take the good with the bad, but I think it will be definitely more and more interesting as time goes by.
You're listening to a conversation between solar scientist Rob Steenberg, KA8JBY, and Rains Hapali, KC9RP. We'll hear more about the Sun and Solar Cycle 24 in a moment. This is the Rain Report, now on Twitter, www.twitter.com/TheRainReport.
You mentioned before about old regions reappearing on the sun. How long typically do they last?
Well, we'll watch them go across what we call the visible solar disk. That's what you'd see if you pointed a telescope up there. We'll watch it trek across there over the course of 13 days, give or take, depending on its latitude. Now, if they're strong, they'll actually persist around the backside of the sun for another 13 days, to only reappear on the eastern limb. So, in essence, you can see a group show up, hang out for 27 days. And the interesting thing about that is now that we have stereo, we can watch these things as they move around the side of the disk. So they really can't get away from us. In the old days, before we had that, once it vanished around the west limb, you couldn't see it anymore. You didn't know what it was doing back there or whether it was going to show up. And they were working on techniques, and they're still working on these techniques called helioseismology to actually try and sense what's going on the backside of the sun without actually seeing it with a satellite being over there. So now we can watch them. We can see if they persist. We can see if they maintain that same level of activity. Also, if these regions that continue to produce coronal mass ejections. That all gives us clues as to what they'll look like when they come back around. Now, what happens with these also, the convention is as they rotate off the visible disk, they'll lose their number. When they come back, they'll be assigned a new number. So that's something that might be useful for people to know. And sometimes in the forecast, we'll refer to it as old region 1158, you know, expected to return. And you can also see that in our solar region summaries. They'll talk about regions expected to return over the next 3 days or so.
Now, if someone would like more information about all these graphs that you've been referring to and what have you, where do they go?
They can find tons of information at our website, which is www.spaceweather.gov, spaceweather.gov. Our alternate address, which is a little more complicated, is www.swpc.noaa.gov, and SWPC is just the Space Weather Prediction Center. These graphs I've been looking at are actually on, if you go to the web page, there's a place on the left where you can click that says Reports and Summaries. And if you go there, you can see reports that we put out daily or less. Some things are updated every 5 minutes. There are weekly reports, which includes our 27-day forecast. Monthly, there's the graphs I was referring to fall under the monthly category, and that is called the solar cycle progression. And then we have even longer-term things, including solar proton events, which affect Earth, and also information about our forecast verification.
Now, aren't these all part of your products subscription service?
I think a lot of them are. I'm not sure entirely. I'd have to go to that page and check, but I know you can get the weekly through the product subscription service. There's a whole slew of different alerts you can get in terms of X-ray flares, proton events, geomagnetic storms. So, and also the forecast. You can get the 3-day forecast as well as the weekly. So, yeah, I think most of those are on there. And it's really nice, delivered right to your mailbox. So, it's a good way to keep up to speed.
And we'll put a tiny URL address for that very long.
Oh, the product subscription.
Yeah. And you're,
actually, I think I might have a new... Let me check something here for you while I got you.
All right.
Okay, I've got an easier way to get there for you.
All right.
It's not quite as short as it could be, but it's definitely shorter. It's PSS for Product Subscription Service .swpc.noaa.gov. And if they...
All right, do that SWPC again now.
Okay, it's PSS.swpc.swpc. .noaa.gov.
All right, cool.
And that'll take them right to the product subscription service webpage where they can sign up for alerts, warnings, forecast summaries, and other things.
And if someone would like to contact you, how should they do that?
Well, probably the easiest way is through the webpage. There is a link, and any... because I'm the ham radio operator here, they have identified me as the guy who... who gets the ham radio email. So whenever those come in to our mailbox, they get forwarded on to me. Let me see. Okay, so at the bottom of our front page at the Space Weather Prediction Center, there's a little place that says Contact Us, and it's swpc.customersupport, and that's all run together as one long word, at NOAA, NOAA.gov. swpc.customersupport@noaa.gov.
This concludes our look inside spaceweather.gov, the Sun and Solar Cycle 24, with solar scientist Rob Steinberg, KA8JBY, who works for spaceweather.gov. He spoke with Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, via Skype. A link to the product's subscription service on spaceweather.gov will be found on the site's mentioned page on therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2011 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with Rain, I'm Dwayne Whittingham, N9SSN, bidding you a very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.